Dear Lord God, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for bringing all these folks here and for giving us this facility and this all of the materials that you've given us. And most of all, Lord, your Holy Word and your Holy Spirit, that we might study so that we would be excellent in our skills handling your Word and in our ability to exhort and encourage one another and build one another up. Lord, we collectively, as a church, ask your forgiveness for whatever participation we've had in the trend of neglecting the one another commands as part of our worship and our corporate gathering. And we pray, Lord, that to whatever degree that's happened, that we would remedy that in great measure through this class, and that you would teach us how to be confident in handling your word and be fully assured of the sufficiency of your word. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. All right, well, welcome everybody. This is a thrill for me. I love this subject, and I'm very happy to see all of you here tonight because of what I just prayed, the importance of this. I'm not going to rehash that because part one of this class is actually already done. That part one of the class is the sermon that I preached 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago. And when we put this together into a class, I think we'll make that part one. In fact, the DVDs, I watched the first DVD, and it was basically the same material that I preached a week and a half ago, so we're skipping that. We've already done that. We've gotten ourselves persuaded of the importance of it, and that's what that first lesson was. So we'll move on to the second one today. If you didn't hear that sermon, you're already behind, and so you can be excused. No, I would urge you, strongly urge you, if you didn't hear that sermon, to listen to it. I think it's a very, very, very important thing to study what Scripture says about the importance of this matter. And so, if you didn't get that, then please pull that up and listen to it. All right, how many of you are familiar with the debate between integration model and biblical counseling model? Okay. Raise your hand if you're unfamiliar with it. You never heard of that. Never. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a brief introduction of that before we start the DVD because he talks about that. And he defines it a little bit, but we need to make sure we really have it nailed down and know exactly what it is because that's a very, very important issue. The integration theory basically says it's these are the two models of Christian counseling. If you go to somebody who calls himself a Christian counselor, chances are, if he has that title, Christian counselor, he's into the integration model. If he has the title biblical counselor, then he's probably into the other model, the nouthetic model. And the two models are very different. Now, if you get all of the counselors, all the Christian counselors together, gathered them, all of them, into one giant group, and you said, okay, integrationists over there, nouthetic counselors over there, it would probably be divided up about, I don't know, 97-98% over here with the integration model. That's where almost all Christian counseling is. If you go to a Bible college and study Christian counseling or seminary, there's one or two where you can learn biblical counseling. All the rest are integration. Integration is just simply what it sounds like. You integrate secular psychological theories in with biblical ideas and mix them together, and you come up with a kind of a hybrid to where you have a counseling model that's essentially the way the world counsels with psychology, but with a kind of a biblical flavor to it. That's integration. You're integrating them together. Biblical counseling is the idea that says you cannot mix those two. They're contradictory. And we don't need the secular psychology theories. They are based on evolutionary ideas. They are incredibly soft science, which is what he'll get into that. And they don't work, and they're contrary to Scripture, and so there's no need for them. Now, we'll probably do a whole class just on answering this next question. Because the question that every integrationist would ask right now, they would object at this point and say, wait a minute. All truth is God's truth. And so the Bible doesn't tell us everything that we need to know. The Bible doesn't tell us how to fix a carburetor. The Bible doesn't tell us medical information. The Bible doesn't tell us lots of stuff that we need to know. And there are things that you can learn about child rearing from people who have studied that aren't in the Bible that are really helpful. I mean, there's just lots of stuff that the Bible doesn't talk about. And they call that general revelation. There's special revelation, that's the Bible. And then there's general revelation, and that's what God has revealed in nature and in through our ability to figure things out. And what they'll say, they'll argue that they're both at the same level. General revelation, special revelation, any revelation from God is revelation from God. It doesn't matter if it's in the Bible or if it's outside of the Bible, it's all revelation. And so they say, when psychologists are trying to figure out how to fix the problems of the human soul, they're operating in the realm of general revelation. Just like an auto mechanic figures out how to make a car work. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we need to embrace that. Now, if you haven't figured out already, I reject that thinking. And I reject that perspective on general revelation. When we go through that class that we're going to do on general revelation, I'll explain why. General revelation does not teach us how to address the problems of the human soul. General revelation has some very limited purposes. And it shows that there's a God, it shows that He's powerful, shows that He's glorious. And it shows that we're sinful. And that's all it shows. It doesn't show, general revelation does not show anything that's not in the Bible. It's not also in the Bible. Nothing. Figuring out how to fix a car is not part of general revelation. If you go to the passages that talk about general revelation, like Romans 1, where it talks about it's evident from the creation that there's a God, or Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, those passages do not talk about how to fix cars. Those passages talk about some very, very general things about God that are also revealed in Scripture. Okay, so that's just kind of the brief thing on that, and that's introductory. From here, what I'd like to do is just go ahead and we'll just start the video. Now, these videos are from this guy that's speaking. His name is Steve Viers. He's the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Lafayette, Indiana. I think it's called Faith Baptist. And they have a counseling center, and that church has a fantastic counseling ministry. Phenomenal counseling ministry. It's an amazing thing what they do. They're totally biblical counselors, nuthetic counselors, and they've trained up all these counselors, and they counsel for free every Monday people in the community. So people in the community, anybody has a marriage problem or relational problem or some kind of psychological thing or emotional thing or whatever they got that they need counseling for, they can come to this church and get free counseling every Monday. And there's a, 4, 5, 6 month waiting list of people, unbelievers in the community, waiting in line to come into the church and have them teach the Bible to them. I mean, this is the most unbelievable. If you want to talk about an evangelism ministry in a church, there are some forms of evangelism that are more effective than other forms of evangelism, right? If you go door to door, knocking on doors, cold calls, on the phone, something like that, you're not going to get a lot of people very interested. But if you have people waiting in line to come to your church, begging you to sit down with them for an hour once a week and teach them the Bible, that's an effective evangelism ministry. I would love to have something like that go on here. And yeah, most of them end up, people get saved and then they end up being members of the church and so on. But it's just an incredible thing. So that's when he refers to Mondays all the time. That's what he's talking about. Is they all the pastors on the staff there? They devote their whole Monday just to that counseling ministry. So, all right. Without any further ado, why don't we go ahead and start it up.